Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to BOLLandBranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Unhappy Hour, the show where we bitch about all the things we love to hate every single week. I'm your host, Matt Bellassai. I'm here in my home studio right across from my co-host and producer, Barry Finkel. Hi, Barry.
Hello, Matt.
All right. Today, what is happening? Well, we're going to kick things off, as always, with a little ranting. Then we got worse things first, where I shout about the stupidest, most ridiculous worst news of the week. And then we are diving deep into my 10-year anniversary with New York City. That's right.
Start spreading the news.
This little worm has been in the Big Apple a whole ass decade, folks.
Oh, wow.
So now I'm officially legally allowed to bitch about it, even though I have been bitching about it since the very first day that I got here.
Right.
When I thought I would have to turn right around and go back home, but I didn't.
You didn't. Look at that. 10 years ago.
And finally, we'll get to all the good stuff that helps all the bad shit go down easier with our chasers. So let's get into it. Let's do it. Let's start the show. All right, Barry, let's do our gripes of the week.
Yeah.
What is your gripe this week?
I don't know. Can we just say like everything?
Yeah, something is in the air this week.
Something is in the air.
This is the moment where I'm like, the air pressure is off.
Yeah.
This is where I see people tweet about like, oh, you know, the barometric pressure in New York City is high this week. And I'm like, oh, is that why I'm depressed?
Right. Yeah. Is that why I'm a huge bitch? And I'd like to think, yes, that's why.
Yeah.
But there's this specific thing that happens when you're in a bad mood, when you're just grumbling around, upset and angry, and then your pants rip. And it's like the whole world has fallen apart.
Mm-hmm.
But really what's fallen apart is the seams of your pants.
Right.
And it makes you feel terrible about everything, but especially yourself. And today, while already in the mood that I'm currently in, which is remarkably not good.
Right.
What happened? My pants ripped.
Yeah.
So that's just kind of like where things are at for me. And I just want to say, fuck you, pants. All pants, really. But just the audacity of a pair of pants to go ahead and rip. It's like, who's in charge here? You or me? I think the answer is me. I bought you. I own you. And yet you have the audacity, pants, to just like ruin a whole day.
Yeah, I really don't like when that happens.
Yeah. So annoying.
It is. Yeah, it's annoying because it's like not only have you broken something that you own.
Yeah. And that like were expensive. And I got like nice ones because they're like good quality or whatever.
Yeah. Not good enough.
No.
Apparently.
Or really what that means is they don't have spandex in them. And the whole point of spandex is to give that little stretch and room.
Yeah. Yeah. How come good stuff doesn't have a little bit of give?
Right.
It's supposed to be like the stitching is better. So it doesn't. it doesn't break.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and cotton and blah, blah, blah.
All of that, sure. The point is, yeah, it is horrifically depressing when that happens. Because A, you have to buy new pants, and then B, yeah, it reminds you of what a blob you are.
Yeah, I know. SpongeBob wrote a whole song about it. And you know what? He was right.
That's true. But he really made a whole meal out of it, you know? He really ran with it.
I need inspiration like that, you know? It's like, why am I taking this moment and bitching about it on the podcast when I could be turning this into a rock career?
Exactly. You could be doing an entire charade on the beach for Larry the Lobster.
Yeah.
But here you are sitting in front of me instead.
A different kind of lobster.
It is shocking, I should say, that even though we joke about being in a bad mood every week, for the nature of this podcast, it is incredibly difficult to record a podcast when you're actually in a bad mood.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm drinking coffee at 4:30 in the afternoon, which is unheard of for me because I'm like, gotta snap into it, you know? You know what? Our lives are so hard, is what this is beginning to sound like.
Remember, just remember that picture of all of the galaxies. I keep having to remind myself. It's like, none of this matters.
Right.
We're all just tiny specks.
Tiny specks.
But you can't think about that too much because then you'll spiral in the other direction. The point is, just remember, nothing matters, but also everything is important.
And I should just wear more comfy, stretchy shorts.
Yeah.
That's the real answer here. And you know what? All of those were in the wash. That's why this happened. Anyway, what's going on with you?
Well, my gripe, I'm just going to continue bitching about Truffles.
I mean,
Truffles the puppy.
She's truly my chaser of the week. She's the only thing that's brought me joy. Even though I have my own dog.
She is in the room with us. Fortunately, she is not paying attention.
She's asleep and she's so cute and I love her.
Yeah. My gripe is that I brought her to her very first veterinary appointment.
Oh.
And spent a smooth $600. And of course, it's like, okay, you get a new puppy and it's like you expect there to be a bunch of like upfront costs.
Right.
That's not like going to be a regular expense
every
single month. But yeah, you put down for the exam. It was like the exam was like $100-something. And so I paid that. And, you know, they gave her a couple shots. They did like a fecal test. She did have an ear infection that I probably gave her when I gave her her first bath, which is really encouraging.
Ear infections are super common. Don't worry. It's okay. She's got floppy ears. It's going to happen.
Right. So they did all that. And then they were like, okay, you're all set. You can go. And then I went out into the lobby and I was like, am I good? And they were like, oh, there's just a couple of extra charges. It'll be $500-something in addition to the $100 I already paid. And I was like, what did you do to her? I was standing right there. Surely all of the stuff that you did is not worth $600.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not. That's the thing. It's like, let's be real. It's not worth that.
Yeah. And the insane thing was like all the stuff individually was really not that much, but it all just added up so quickly. And I was like, I didn't ask for any of this. No. You just did it.
Mm-hmm. My least favorite thing, because what they'll do at my vet is they'll give you an assessment of what it would all cost for what they need to do. And then they sit and they go through each thing and they're like, is there anything here that you want to take off? Because like, it could mean the end of his life. Like, it's just like,
so
oh,
you have to decide each item one by one.
And I'm like, I guess just fucking do all of it because I don't want to be a bad mom.
Right.
But it's like they think that they're helping, but they're actually just making you feel guilty and you're going to do the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm glad I was not presented with that option. It was better to just kind of get it punched in the face at the end, but did not feel great.
No.
Yeah.
But how'd she do? She was, she?
Oh yeah. I mean,
girl?
She's fine. She had an ear infection in both ears.
Both ears. No.
Which is like, not only do they charge to stick a swab in her ear and look at it under a microscope, which is like, you're looking at it under a microscope.
Yeah.
Like I respect what you're doing. Doctor, you did have to go to like veterinary school, but also I got a microscope at home. You know what I mean?
Right, I did that in biology. And not even AP bio, regular bio.
I got 3x zoom on my iPhone.
Yeah.
I can zoom in on that. I don't need your fancy microscope. It's not like you're paying for like equipment. You already got the microscope. Why does it cost that much just to look at? The fact that I was charged both for the swab and then for the treatment, it's like, no. It should all be in one.
Yeah.
Anyway, so besides the ear infection, she was fine. I mean, they still don't have any idea how old she is or how big she'll get.
Oh, she's full of surprises.
She was like, yeah, she probably looks like she's around 4 months. And I was like, I did see a full tooth fall out of her. And she was like, oh, well, that usually starts happening around like 5 to 6 months. So I was like, what is it? You're actually confusing me more. And then she told me she could get up to 22 pounds.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, not really what I was expecting. I mean, I knew when I actually got her that she could get bigger, but
yeah.
Yeah.
But 22 is still under, no, is it 25, I think, is the cutoff for
I think
flying.
25, yeah. Yeah. And I don't know how strict it is. It's like, if you can fit in the bag.
Yeah, that's the important thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, just keep her on a diet and like get her used to small spaces.
I mean, she was fine in her little carrier on the way to the vet. And like we took an Uber there and yeah, only a little bit of barking. Anyway, the point is, I don't like the vet. And even though Truffles looked like she had a great time and she is healthy and good, the fact that they charged me like 2 venti coffees is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else? Do we have anything that the winos called in about?
Let's check the rant hotline.
Let's play it.
Hey, Matt. Hey, Barry. Okay, so I decided that I wanted to be a teacher. Yay! So guess what? Now I'm a teacher and it's back to school time. And like over the summer, I forgot what it's like to be a teacher. And it's week one and I'm already over it. And the tip of the iceberg for me this week, honestly, I could call every week. There's always something. But the tip of the iceberg for me this week was that one of my first graders, I gave her a coloring sheet. And she said, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm sorry. Did you just say no to me about coloring? And it's just like, it's coloring. You are 6. Like, I'm just like, it's coloring. Okay, I just wanted to say that. Thank you. Have a good day.
That did sound cathartic.
Yeah.
It sounded the relief at the end of getting that off their chest. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm glad that we could be here for you. I also just want to say, like, I'll never turn down a coloring book. That sounds great.
Yeah. I mean, you are fucked if they're turning down coloring.
Yeah.
Because that is almost the easiest thing that you could possibly give to them. Besides
and most
just
fun. Like, school is all downhill from there for this kid.
Yeah. I will say, like, unfortunately, I am legally obligated to relate everything back to being a dog parent now. It is so alarming to me to now be in a situation where I am responsible for overlooking someone else who can choose not to listen to me.
Yeah.
There are now outcomes beyond my control that I don't appreciate at all.
Right. It's like, why aren't you just doing what I want you to do?
Right.
You think you have autonomy here?
Yeah.
It's not right.
And so I empathize.
Yeah.
And that's just one. I'm only dealing with one. Not even human.
She doesn't even have thumbs.
A classroom full of children who may or may not listen to you and who could at a certain point mutiny.
Right.
And
they could revolt.
Overthrow you. Yeah. That's true. It must be terrifying to be a teacher.
Yeah.
Shout out to you. I'm sure you'll get back into your groove. You know, it's getting back to, we're not even like halfway through September yet. I mean, we will be mostly by the time you listen to this, but still.
That's fucked.
Yeah, it is fucked. I do have this like anxious pit in my stomach right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Is it the coffee that you just chugged?
Probably.
It might be. But it's still there nonetheless.
Right. Coffee is bad for me.
Right. But also make me feel so good. So like, what am I supposed to do with that?
No, I have for the past few days just kind of felt the constant urge to throw up from anxiety.
Yeah.
I think for me, it's mostly, no, I don't have to get into it.
Oh, God.
As I drink more coffee. Anyway.
Yeah, we're all doing great.
We're all doing great.
If you're feeling weird this week, guess what? You are not alone, my friend.
No, you're absolutely not. And we're all doing bad. Anyway, let's get into the headlines. All right. Worst things first. Let's chat about the stupidest worst news of the week first. a person using a motorized wheelchair was stopped at the Milan airport when an Italian drug-sniffing dog sniffed out nearly 30 pounds of cocaine.
Oh.
That was stuffed into the leather upholstery of what I'm assuming was like a four-wheeled Vespa wheelchair.
Oh, yeah, this was the finest luxury of a wheelchair.
Because everything in Italy is either a Vespa or a Mercedes-Benz.
Right.
But okay, here's the best part. When the dog gave the drug signal, the person immediately stood up without assistance and walked. I mean, they did not need this wheelchair because they're a liar.
Yeah.
And they were taken immediately into custody. The dog, whose name was Linguini Alfredo D'Agostino.
Are you serious?
No.
Okay. I was like, did you name this dog?
Linguini Alfredo D'Agostino Gristetti's Lucali Papa John Meatball said, "You come to me in my airport on your little motorized wheelchair." I don't know why I had that accent. Anyway, the canine unit was deployed specifically at this airport to check passengers that were arriving from the Dominican Republic because Italian police had flagged that particular route as one that drug couriers had used in the past. So they were like, "We got you. We got you. You think you could just plug this little drug route into Google Maps and come right in? We're going to have our Italian dog sniff you out." What dog is Italian?
Italian Greyhound is all I can imagine. And the idea of a bunch of like tiny Italian Greyhounds running around an airport being like, "There's cocaine in here," is hilarious to me.
Is that the sound an Italian dog makes?
All of those I just imagine, they're talking in a little tiny voice. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Those How do you tiny think dogs? An Italian dog barks? A roof.
A roof. Have a bark.
So stupid. A roof. A roof, a roof. I can just imagine a dog looking at someone in a wheelchair being like, "A roof." And the person stands up and walks away. Run. And then they pull out 30 bricks of cocaine out of this wheelchair. There was 30 pounds of cocaine, 11 packets,
That's
weighing a total
of
nearly 30 pounds, that according to this article could have yielded some 27,000 individual doses.
Damn, okay. All right.
I'm glad they specified that.
Thank you.
And had a street value of 1.4 million euro.
Okay.
Which in dollars is $1.4 million. Because
the world is fucked.
Yeah.
The exchange rate doesn't exist right now.
Police said that when the cocaine was found, the chair user, a Spaniard who had requested airport personnel to help guide their wheelchair, got up, walked without assistance, and was taken into custody. I love that they committed. They were like, "Yeah, I'm going to need help."
Yeah. It's like, what's the best way to make them think I'm not a criminal? Have them help me.
Yeah.
Nope. Turns out the dogs can still smell all that cocaine.
Right. Does cocaine have a smell?
I mean, to these dogs, I guess.
It reminds me of this TikTok that I saw, ring the TikTok bell, of when this man who had a bomb-sniffing dog was at, like, a party. Did you see that?
I did, but then I saw the setup.
Right. I mean, the setup was this guy with the bomb-sniffing dog is at a party. It's like an outdoor thing. Everybody's running around, and he focuses on the dog, and he's like, "Wait, my dog is getting, like, a scent," but he's a retired bomb-sniffing dog, so, right. Like, what is he smelling? And you follow it along, and it's like, oh, it tracks it down into this doghouse, and then he's like, "Oh, look, she found the bomb that I planted."
Yeah.
The fake bomb that I planted. And it's like, you just led us on this sham?
Yeah.
To make it seem like someone was about to blow up your kid's birthday party?
Like, if you're going to go...
But you planted your own bomb?
Right. If you're going to go that hard, like, do it for the bit. Bomb your family.
Yeah.
Commit.
That is the essentials of any children's birthday party in the year of our Lord 2022. Folding table. Cooler with Bud Light. Bomb.
Yeah.
Anyway, shout out to this Italian dog. A roof. Next, authorities in Liechtenstein, which it turns out is a country in the Alps,
sorry?
That I just learned. This is I just learned this information. Have heard the name Liechtenstein plenty of times before.
I'm confusing it with the artist.
What?
Isn't there an artist? Wait.
Liechtenstein?
Who's the artist who does the like comic book circles?
I have no idea. Andy Warhol.
No, shut up. Artist, comic. Style. Liechtenstein.
Oh.
No, it is.
Well, it's not also a country.
Oh, wow. Fascinating.
It's a country.
Spelled differently.
It's a country in the Alps. It's a German-speaking country. Authorities in Liechtenstein were debating the pros and cons of earthquake insurance at an official government meeting when not one but two earthquakes struck their shitty little country.
Like during the meeting?
During their government meeting about whether or not to get earthquake insurance, two earthquakes hit them.
Okay, I'm sorry, but turns out God exists. If you were looking for a sign, that's fucking it.
One lawmaker had literally just warned in a speech the chances of all Liechtenstein citizens being affected by an earthquake were incredibly high when the first little earthquake hit, and it was a smaller one, and the lawmaker like laughed and then continued talking until the second one struck, which was a bigger one, and it started visibly shaking the room, and they had to like stop the meeting and take a recess, and the speaker announced a 15-minute recess and said, "This is getting to be a bit much." You never know if there'll be aftershocks. No, lost it. The second. But yeah, so they had to take a recess. Records show that it was a magnitude 4 earthquake, which means nothing to me because yeah, I never really not. Learned the size of earthquakes.
Sometimes I think it's 5, but is it actually 9? Maybe it's 7. Who knows? A lot of people know, just not me.
I don't know the earthquake numbers and I don't know the hurricane numbers. Yeah, whenever they're like, oh, it's category 3, I'm like, that means nothing to me. Like, give them, you're gonna call it Hurricane Tina, but not give me a better description than a category 3. What
right.
the fuck is that supposed to mean?
I really appreciate in the Midwest where it's like with tornadoes, either there's a tornado or there's not a tornado. You know what I mean?
Right. The difference between warning and watch,
yeah.
always a big thing in our household.
Because yeah.
I was like, what does it mean? Because I was like incredibly phobic of
tornadoes. Yeah.
Like, deathly afraid, would sob and shake.
Aww.
And yeah, during my 16th birthday party, no, can you imagine if I was 16 just sobbing and shaking next to my birthday cake? You can actually.
Yeah, 100%.
No, yeah, I never learn earthquakes or hurricanes or bra sizes because I always grew up thinking that double D's were like the biggest they get. Not
no,
even.
That's it,
like
it goes barely. Way down the alphabet.
Right. You can have like Z's or some
mm-hmm,
shit.
Mm-hmm.
But like culturally, right? Double D's were
huge. Yeah.
That was like, whoa, Pamela Anderson got her double D. Did you remember Pamela Anderson had an entire sitcom called Stacked where she was a librarian and the joke was that she was just like big titty librarian?
You have brought this up before. I feel like we need to watch it.
I feel like I dreamt. There's no way that entire sitcom was based on just that one joke. We've come a long way as a society. Not really.
No.
Anyway, Liechtenstein police said no injuries or damage were reported. TBD on whether they're actually getting that earthquake insurance. Next, this was a story that was sent in by a couple of people. At least 24 people in Ohio have gotten sick recently from E. coli.
No.
The E in E. coli stands for ecstasy.
Excellent. Oh.
What?
Excellent? Ecstasy?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's E. So that's when people are at the club and they're like, you want some E? And they hold out their hand. It's E. coli that they have.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get it just right, magical. I don't actually know what ecstasy is.
Or E. coli, apparently.
No, I really don't. I truly don't understand where E. coli comes from, how it can be in both like meat and also
Lake Michigan on any given Saturday growing up.
Or like algae or leaves. I don't get it.
Yeah.
But anyway, whenever an outbreak like this happens, we've talked about this on the pod before, you have the little CDC men with their notebooks. They have to go out to everybody and ask them nosy questions about what they've been eating mm-hmm. lately to try to track a trend. Once again, I would love this job.
Please.
I would love to just go to people and be like, tell me everything you ate and also how it tasted and when you started to have diarrhea. And findings say they still don't quite know the definitive source, but many of the affected people have reported eating sandwiches with romaine lettuce at Wendy's.
Uh-oh, Miss Wendy.
That ginger bitch.
Fucking people's stomachs
with
up.
Her fucking pigtails walking around like she owns this place. You don't, Wendy. You're a minor, okay? Trying to entice me with your wet frosty.
Oh.
Grow up. Turn 18 and then we'll talk.
I don't like that.
Me neither, but keep it. I love that anybody who refers to an item of food from any fast food restaurant, Burger King, McDonald's, Wendy's, as a sandwich, instant disgusting, instant ick. Instant cringe.
What would you call it instead?
A burger. But it's not a sandwich. I mean, technically it is, but it's like, it feels like you're debasing a sandwich by calling that a sandwich.
But like, isn't Wendy's also known for like chicken sandwiches? Or am I just confusing it with like KFC?
Fuck. Right? I forgot about chicken sandwiches.
Yeah, I was like, there are definitely sandwiches on the menu.
Let me clarify. Okay. I don't like when anybody refers to a burger as a sandwich.
Oh yeah, no, that's fucked up.
Yeah. You can call a chicken sandwich a sandwich because ultimately that is what it is.
Right, but a burger is a burger.
Yeah, and I forgot that they do serve other sandwiches. But yeah, anyway, so romaine lettuce at Wendy's is one commonality here. And, mm-hmm. and you know, you can't blame Wendy's for having E. coli-ridden romaine lettuce.
Gotta blame the big lettuce for that.
Yeah, romaine.
Yeah.
Wherever that is, probably next to Liechtenstein. Anyway, amid this outbreak, 6 people have been hospitalized. No people have died. But nationally, I mean, we are still in the midst of a like national E. coli outbreak.
Oh, right.
About 100 cases nationwide. Michigan has double the cases of Ohio. Indiana is also up there. Pennsylvania, New York, Kentucky. What do they all have in common? Who knows? Draw your own conclusions. The true number of E. coli cases may be even higher. We don't know. As a precaution, Wendy's removed the romaine lettuce used in the sandwiches from affected regions. By the way, most shocking part of this whole story, this line. The fast food chain based in Dublin.
I'm sorry, what?
Wendy's is based in Dublin?
Wendy's is Irish?
Wendy.
You're frosted. What is it? What are they?
You're frosty. Come get your frosty, darling. I can actually do a pretty good Irish accent.
Oh, she is a redhead.
She is a redhead.
Wow.
And finally, a small city in northwestern Iowa planned to make the opening of their time capsule one of the centerpiece events of its 150th anniversary, but it ran into a problem. Nobody knows where the time capsule is buried. I just love that they bury
the map with it.
I just love that they are planning their 150th anniversary for their town. Good mm-hmm. for them.
Great.
And they were like, oh, I know. We'll make opening the time capsule like a major part of it. And they decided that before anybody was like, yeah, I got it right here. Like, you would think that... The order of events would be before we announce that the time capsule is going to be the center, before we print the programs,
right.
Before we mail out invitations, let's make sure we have the map.
Right.
No.
You need Dora on this.
Oh, that's right. And her freaky little backpack.
Yeah.
Her freaky... No, I was going to get sexual, and then I realized she was a child.
Stop it.
I just like, okay, her backpack has a tongue, is all I'll say. And the map in it, which you would pull out that map and it's like, okay, this map has 3 pictures on it. How good of a map is it really?
The map is actually just like pulling out its phone and looking at Google Maps.
Yeah. The Chamber of Commerce director said, we're trying to find instructions on exactly where it's at before we just start digging. I hope so.
Yeah.
How big is this town that they're just going to start digging and hope that they find it? We think we know where it is, but to dig up concrete in the park when we have just a big event going on, we're just postponing that to a little bit later in the year. Okay.
Surprised this town has made it 150 years with this kind of management.
Yeah. By the way, the capsule was not buried 150 years ago. The capsule was buried 50 years ago, which... It sounds less impressive.
Definitely.
But it's like, okay, 50 years, which fucked up 1972.
Shut up.
Fucked up.
No.
That it's not 1950.
Right.
but the time capsule, yeah, was buried 50 years ago at a celebration. So it's like, Yeah, 1972. You should still have
right.
those records.
Did everyone just get like wasted at that celebration and forget?
Right. They were all high on E. coli. The other events will go on as planned, but they're delaying the capsule unveiling until they can find it. The director said, we still have every intention of finding it and digging it up. It's just a little more involved than what we originally had planned. This town has 5,178 people.
Okay.
So
I just don't think that there's ever been anything interesting dug up in a time capsule.
Yeah, no offense to Sheldon, Iowa, but what is a town of 5,000 people, which is today's number right. of population? So about 50 years ago, that was like 400 people probably that were putting shit in a time capsule. What did they have?
KKK hoods.
Oh, no. It was Iowa,
it's
though.
Iowa. We don't know.
Corn.
Corn. Yeah.
A big lump with knobs. It's got the juice. It's got the juice.
What if they pull out a recording of a song about corn and it's so close and that kid is actually the reincarnated musician that recorded it 50 years ago?
Yeah.
That'd be crazy.
It would be.
But yeah, I just feel like time capsules, keep them locked. Same with like tombs and mummies. Like, don't open that shit up.
Right.
Leave it be.
If it's in the ground, leave it there.
Amen.
And that's it for this week's headlines. Next, we are diving deep into all the beautiful, terrible things about being a New Yorker. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
All right. Well, they say you're only a New Yorker once you've survived this city for 10 years. That is the official cutoff. And folks, you can slap my ass and call me a boring magazine for white people because I'm a New Yorker.
Oh.
Did it?
Yeah.
The New Yorker.
That was a good one.
Thanks. Yeah, I celebrated my official 10-year anniversary on September 3rd of moving to New York. And let me tell you, it is an absolute miracle that I have I made it this long with even a semblance of my spirit left intact.
Yeah.
Because despite what Beyonce said, it is incredibly easy to break my soul. I am 1 second away from having a complete and total nervous breakdown at any given moment in the city. Yeah? And in any city, really. But, you know, New York is an especially bad place to be on the edge.
I often call it a magnifying glass because if you're having a bad day and you're in New York will show you the most disgusting shit you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
It will magnify everything bad.
Absolutely. Because you really have to go looking for the gems.
Uh-huh.
But all of the shit will show itself to you readily.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes, literally,
yeah,
shit.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's crazy to think that we've been doing this podcast for at least half of the time that I've spent in New York.
So true.
So it's only fitting that we recognize this seminal anniversary on the pod with a deep dive on the lessons that I've learned as an official season New York strip steak. Lessons that I hope are applicable to people who live in any place, right? Because you know what they say, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. But you probably can't.
Probably not.
Yeah, so don't even try. Anyway, these are all of my super positive lessons about New York City. First, the smell of absolute hot, steamy, moist garbage.
Cooked garbage.
Cooked garbage is delicious, actually.
I want several candles of it burning in my house at once.
Because you know what?
What?
It masks the smell of urine, blood, and semen.
Mm, so true.
That would be emanating from almost every surface were it not for the glorious smell of garbage.
Yeah.
Every whiff that you take of hot cooked garbage, you better be thankful for. Because that means you're not smelling something worse.
Amen.
And I firmly believe that.
That is a half glass full.
These are all half glass fulls. That was sort of the joke I was going for.
It's good. I like it. Hey, guess what? That one, it worked.
Good. Yeah. Shocking to me. Actually, this is more of a dig at Chicago, our ancestral homeland, which had, I remember how shocked I was when I first got on the L train in Chicago and found that there were cloth seats.
Oh, yeah. That's gross.
And like, yeah, you can't power wash that away.
No. And what, you think people are going to vacuum that every day?
No, there are stains that have been there for 50 years.
Yeah.
But here in New York, they say, no, everything is plastic and metal. So we can bring a hose in here and wash away literally whatever atrocity just happened in the subway car. And you can go in and pretend like nothing ever happened.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Wash away the sins of New York.
Exactly. With a hose. Never once have I seen a train car cleaned.
No.
But, you know, it must happen.
I hope.
Otherwise, they'd probably be covered in blood.
And shit.
Yeah. I've definitely seen, like, bloody tampons around, which I think is worse than human shit. But that is because I'm afraid of women. But I do think, yeah, it's upsetting to see any type of bodily fluid outside of the body. And guess what? You're going to get a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's exciting, though. You're not getting that everywhere.
No.
You're not walking to Starbucks in the suburbs and getting a bloody tampon next to a pile of shit.
No.
On the staircase.
It's called decor.
That you have to take to get to work in your finest outfit. Next, I like spending $90 on a 3-hour ride to the airport, actually, every single time.
Yeah, not including tip.
In the back of a smelly stranger's vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually fabulous. Not including tip, exactly.
Right.
I actually love that the airport and the accessibility of the rest of the country is like impossible to get to.
It feels exclusive that way, you know?
Yeah.
You feel VIP.
It does feel like that is, it's like New York is not throwing you right in. Mm-mm. They're giving you a trial run. When you get to the airport, they're saying it's bad right away. You're not going to have a rosy ride from the airport and then you get out and it's bad. No, it's going to be bad from the start.
Right away.
And you're getting a trial run.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the day that I moved here, I gave what I thought was my apartment address to the cab driver. Turns out he heard something different. I think it's because instead of saying like the cross streets, which right. is what you do, I actually gave the apartment number.
Oh, yeah.
Which was 420, I do remember.
Hey.
And so he started taking me to like 42nd or something. And
yes.
I started looking at my map being like, no, we're going in the wrong direction. And I said something to him and he freaked out. Even though it's like the meter is still running, dude. I'm
right,
not like saying...
paid.
Yeah, I, of course, was like the shyest, quiet Midwestern boy being like, sir, I'm so sorry, sir.
I'm surprised that you didn't just like let him take you wherever and then get out and get into a new cab.
Yeah, it is pretty shocking that I didn't, actually.
Yeah, that's how you knew you were going to last 10 years.
Is that I spoke up for myself.
Yeah, on that first day.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful.
But when I tell you he was furious at me, even though I still gave him probably $120 just for that one ride, I was like, yeah, this is New York, baby. Next, you're actually supposed to fear for your life on public transportation, actually. It makes you stronger.
Yeah.
I like not knowing if the person across from me who's talking to themselves is going to jump up and stab me in the throat.
Right. It keeps you on your toes.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just going to fall asleep and miss your stop.
Right.
But this way, you're constantly looking at how many more stops you have before you can get off this car.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember in Chicago, was taking the commuter train from the suburbs into the city. And I probably have said this on the pod before. It was my birthday and my mom called me to wish me a happy birthday. And a lady tapped me on the shoulder and said, this is the quiet car. Hang it up. I swear all I said was, hello, thank you. And the lady was like, hang it up. That would never happen in New York.
No.
She would have pulled out a gun and smacked me across the face with it.
Yeah.
And I would have deserved it. But also,
there's no such thing as a quiet car.
There's no quiet cars. Everyone is screaming and yelling at all times.
Yeah.
And you actually learn to focus and drown it all out.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm really good at paying attention.
Yeah.
Because I'm really able to drown stuff out. It also builds an incredible amount of character.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember taking the subway in the dead of summer, being sweaty as fuck, having my hands in my lap, reading a book. And then standing up and there being two sweaty lines pointing at my knees.
Yeah.
From my genitals.
Right.
You can't get that anywhere.
No.
Right. It's joyful is what it's character building joy.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Rats are friendly, actually, and nice
and
good
cute.
And good for the ecosystem.
So good for the ecosystem.
And definitely not multiplying at an alarming rate in their subterranean palaces, just waiting for their chance to spring up and declare themselves the ruling class.
Mm-hmm.
They're not.
No.
And I have learned that. And
they
if any of them are listening,
friends.
We're your friends. We love you.
I think of you as creative collaborators.
And I am here. If you ever need me, mm-hmm. I'll turn immediately against humanity. And I will swear obeisance to our rat overlords.
Okay, SAT word.
Yeah, I don't even know if I used it right.
I don't even know what it was, to be honest. See, rats, this is the kind of intelligence that he can bring to your community.
Yeah, yeah. Next, avoiding eye contact is actually totally natural and a good survival tactic. Yeah, like constantly looking at the ground and walking in a submissive posture is normal and fun. And that's how I like to walk out in the public.
I don't like to say hi to other people.
Yeah.
I don't like to know people who are around me.
I will say 10 years in, I still not have broken myself of the necessity of, like, if someone with a clipboard is standing, I'm going to make eye contact. I can't avoid it.
Oh, see, I think I've gotten better at that.
I think I've gotten better at being like, no, no, thank you.
Yeah.
But I still can't stop myself from looking at them.
Right.
Rather, I just can't do completely ignore, which ultimately is more humane.
I have been thinking lately about how I'm like, should I like actively work on strengthening my peripheral vision solely to spy on people around me?
That's true. Some people are really good at it. And that's probably like, yeah, spies use that and shit.
Yeah. And like, I want to be able to gossip better. And I think that peripheral vision is the way to do it. It also would help in these situations where you're seeing someone you don't want to talk to.
Yeah.
You can see them and acknowledge that they're there without making eye contact with them.
Right.
Anyway, that's what I'm working on.
I will say, it reminds me of one of my biggest pet peeves that I have not said on the pod before, which is that when you are talking to someone, say you're at dinner together, and they are like, oh, the table next to us, wait, they're having a really juicy conversation. We have to listen. And it's like, okay, I'm glad that you weren't paying attention to me to begin with and caught a glimpse of their conversation. I don't give a fuck how juicy their conversation is. You're talking to me right now.
Do you feel like you're actually just tearing me down? Because I'm pretty sure I do this a lot. But it's because I'm really good at listening to multiple things at once.
No, I mean, it depends on the moment. But for the
most
part.
And depends on how juicy it is.
Right.
It's also because if you're then telling someone to like, you're like, oh, we got to listen in. Then suddenly you're becoming really quiet and that's going to be weird and the table's going to notice.
Right. The important thing I also think is that you have to be like, wait a second, we'll come back to this and then go to that. Because I think too often what happens is you go to the other conversations and then come back and it's like what you were saying before does not matter.
Right.
I think we just need to get better at being like, I don't care about what you're saying.
Okay. Noted. Feedback taken.
But also on this note, getting into an aggressive confrontation with a complete stranger on the sidewalk on your way to work is a completely healthy way to start the morning.
Yeah.
But I do think that.
It's like, why meditate when you can just get your frustrations out on a stranger?
Yeah. I think it taps into like our caveman brain.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, yeah, we were actually getting too comfortable with just driving to work and not having to have any confrontation. Like, you should feel like you have to grab your wooden club on the way out the door and fight off a saber-toothed tiger.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in this case, the saber-toothed tiger is a Goldman Sachs executive in a puffy Patagonia vest who is talking loudly on their cell phone and not moving out of the coffee truck way.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
And so I see that, but my caveman brain is like, saber-toothed tiger, woolly mammoth. And then I take out my spear and I stab him in the throat.
And all is well.
That is what New York has taught me.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, grounding?
Like walking around without shoes on?
Yeah, where it's like,
be in touch with the earth as a way, like, you have to do that because that's how we,
like, every day
historically. And
like, it's unnatural for us not to touch the earth every day and like touch water every day. And it's like that, like touch the ocean.
Yeah.
That is how I feel about like getting into a confrontation with someone before sunrise.
Mm, yeah.
Because it's like, no, we're feeding the caveman like urge to kill.
Yeah.
I sound like a serial killer.
That's what living in New York does to you.
Let's see. Next, walking everywhere, especially when the weather is getting exponentially more extreme and temperatures are soaring, and even standing still outside is an excruciating toil. That is the absolute best way of travel.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I've learned.
Mm-hmm.
I love walking outside when it feels like I'm inside of an actual oven.
I love carrying complete changes of clothes and several handkerchiefs to wipe myself.
Right. I love knowing exactly where I have to stand on every subway car to get even a modicum of air conditioning.
Yep.
I love knowing where the overhead fans are at every subway station that they decided to turn off recently. I don't know, because they're using too much energy and we just bake down there and fuck all. I love having to duck into a sham jewelry store just for the air conditioning. Even though I know at any given moment I could be drawn into an uncut gem situation where I'm fighting the mafia. I've never seen Uncut Gems.
Nor have I, but it stands. sure. what you just said.
That also reminds me that I do love having to know where all of the public toilets are
that,
and which one is
yeah,
the best.
Yeah.
There are like apps devoted to public restrooms in New York.
Right. But I'm like, there is a part of me that's like, yes, I see the value in that. I would use that. But also, I have too much pride to use that. I'm like, I need to know for myself. This is an information that I can just rely on other people for.
Yeah. And I mean, this is going to sound a little like indie alt rock pop artist of me. But like, it reminds me of the phenomenon on TikTok where some girl posts about like, oh, you have to try this new bakery that opened. And it's like, if I'm seeing it, that means it's already ruined.
Yeah. Yeah.
It means it's already gone wide enough that like, now I know I'll never be able to go.
Right.
Because there are going to be long lines. They've ruined it. And that's how I feel about the toilet situation. Yeah.
You got to keep that shit to yourself. So you can continue to shit by yourself
right.
in the public restroom.
So ultimately, this item is, I love gatekeeping where public toilets are. I love having to gatekeep where all of the best public toilets are.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's see. What else? Eating dinner in the quote unquote backyard garden of a restaurant that's actually just an airless sliver of sidewalk next to the sewers is a romantic way to dine, actually.
It's the only way to fall in love.
When I tell you that the two of us recently went with the Unhappy Hour team to a little Unhappy Hour, literally, drink session.
Yeah.
And this bar we went to said, oh yeah, the garden is open. And we walked outside to two tables that were literally just on like a square of concrete. In an alleyway.
Yeah, it's not even an alley. It's the space between two buildings.
Yeah.
It's like we, as our tall selves, could not stretch our arms all the way sideways.
No.
We would hit the wall of the next building.
The oxygen back there, non-existent.
No, it was,
there is
it was
no,
technically outside, and yet...
There's the absence of atmosphere. Yeah. It is like you are just in an airless vacuum of damp, smelly nothing.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I do remember the first time I went to a bar like back. It was Boxers, the gay sports bar. Yeah, I say with derision. That used to be on like 22nd Street. And they had a backyard that people would go to. And that was also when you could smoke in those places that had like a smoking area. So
yeah.
You were just like standing in like a hot box with a bunch of other like sweaty gays. You're trying to go outside to get air and it's just like people exhaling a bunch of nicotine.
Mm. Anyway. I love it.
Similarly, it's actually fun to go to a bar that's just the basement of an abandoned grocery store and that should only fit 40 people, but is pumping hard at 300 deep and charging $19 for a 12-ounce hard seltzer.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun, actually.
Yeah.
And that's what we're here for.
It's all about building community.
Yeah. It's like, you can't get this anywhere else.
No. I mean, you could get alcohol for a lot less at
right.
any other bar in America.
Yeah.
But why would you do that when you could be in a sweaty basement?
You could go to the tenement building section of your local history museum and live the life of a New Yorker in today's age. You could. But why would you do that when you can move to New York and live this life?
Yeah.
Yeah. When I tell you it is... Bars are charging. I made a TikTok about this. Bars are charging far too much for a single beverage. And it is... an absolute travesty.
Yeah.
Because I'll spend it. The fact that we went to a venue recently and they were selling buckets of White Claws.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like $40 for like three White Claws.
Yeah.
And it was like, you can buy...
We all know what these White Claws cost.
Yeah. There's not even the like artistry. There's not even the illusion of artistry of crafting a cocktail.
No.
I get going to like a fancy cocktail bar and they're adding, you know, fucking flowers
right.
into the beverage. I get like, okay, you at least fired up the smoker. You're putting a bunch of White Claws in a bucket and you're going to charge me $40 when I could very well go to the grocery store and buy a 12 pack of these babies for $20. You better think again. Did I spend it? Yes. Speaking of which, paying $10,000 a month to rent a slowly decaying coffin to live your little rodent life in is amazing, actually.
Again, it builds character.
Because it's like, it feels like we're living a real life game of Monopoly that we're always losing.
Yeah.
I have felt that. I have felt that of like, yeah, I'm in Monopoly.
Yeah.
And it's not going great. You win some and you lose some. But unfortunately, in real life, if you lose some, you go down pretty bad.
Yeah, and like you're mostly losing.
Yeah, you can't just roll the dice and hope that you win a beauty contest.
Right.
You really gotta, you know, then you gotta move back home and, you know, wait until you earn enough money to move back. And it's like, the fact that I made it 10 solid years without having to escape at all, pretty amazing. Well, I mean, I escaped for brief periods, right. But like, you know.
You lived here.
Yeah. The fact that I lived in New York paid rent for 10 years straight. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
What else? It's actually fun to never see the sun and to have seasonal depression 9 months out of the year. Because then how would I appreciate the other 3 months?
Right. They would just go right by us.
How do I know how good the sun is if I see it all the time? I can't. I actually have to suffer the majority of the time to appreciate that sliver of hope.
I know that people always make fun of New Yorkers for like when we post photos of a beautiful sunset. But what I don't think that other people understand is like we actually just rarely ever see the sun. Yeah. So the fact that it's pretty and we can see the sunset.
Right.
That's huge. Because most of the time
we're just getting we don't know where it is off the sky.
Of
a building.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like I love every glimmer of sunshine I get because it only happens for a minute every week.
Mm-hmm.
And collectively, that adds up to like, I don't know, 50 minutes. Okay, my brain is at an end. But you know what? I made it 10 years. I made it 10 fucking years in this city. And my lesson is that it was worth it, even though I probably spent a smooth $2 million on rent. Not far off, honestly.
Oh my God. I've never thought about actually calculating how much money I've spent on rent in the 8 years I've been here.
Really?
No.
I mean, I splurge on my apartment because I spend the majority of my time in my apartment and I work from home even before everybody else started working from home and copied me.
You're a trendsetter.
But when I think about like if I genuinely added it all up, I could fully buy a house in cash. And that sucks. But I do. I'm one of those people that it's like whenever anybody is like, don't you hate how mean everybody is and how gross it is and how like it's so expensive and how everybody is piled on top of one another and how you can't even take the subway without worrying that someone's going to stab you. And it's like, yeah, but also I would choose this over everywhere else.
Yeah. Bitch.
Sorry, bitch. Deal with it, bitch. And that is my New York celebration. Let's everybody with me. It's New York, baby. And that is it for this week's deep dive. All right, we're almost there. We're almost at the end of the show. But first, our chasers. Chasers are the good stuff that helps all the bad shit go down easier, starting with Do Better White People, where we highlight some anti-racism resources and other actions we could take to make our world a little bit better. This week, listen, we got so many responses to our call out for teacher wish lists last week that we want to keep them going.
Yeah.
This is going to be our month of September back to school project. So listen, if you're a teacher, if you know some teachers, if you're looking to share some classroom wish lists, DM us on Instagram. Give us the info. We'll share it in our stories. If you're not a teacher, you don't know a teacher, click on one of the links and buy something and donate it to one of our teacher listeners. So we've been saving them on Instagram as a highlight. So if you miss them, you can go back. You can go through them, you know, pick some, donate to them, spread the love. And of course, you can find all of our Do Better White People shout outs in our Instagram bio. So if you want to look at all of the past things we've shouted out and get involved in those, you can.
Love it.
Now let's get into the TV we've been watching this week. Barry, what have you been watching?
I just want to give a huge shout out to this season of What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, yes.
The finale just came out. I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, right.
But like, it is just incredible. The season has been everything to me. It's truly been a chaser. I've watched, I think, every episode at least twice, if not more. Mm-hmm. Like, I just, they're so on it this season. It's so funny and just one of my favorite shows, maybe of all time. It's getting up there.
Yeah.
So huge shout out to that. Rap Shit also just ended, and I talked about it a couple weeks ago. I love this show now. I'm very excited. I hope there's a season two. I love the characters. I'm fully in the story. It's funny. It's good. I really like it. But I'm sad because now that is done. And so is What We Do in the Shadows. But thankfully, Rings of Power is out now.
Yes, that is mine. That is mine. I mean, yeah, everybody who listens to this show knows we're Lord of the Rings fans.
Oh, yeah.
We're Tolkien heads.
Oh, Tolkien, you mean? You stupid little beach.
I'm not like Stephen Colbert obsessed.
Right. No, no,
but,
no.
But I did. Yeah.
We did go see screenings of all three extended versions like recently.
Listen, I've read the books.
We've that read the count. Books.
But yeah, Rings of Power. Love it so much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the fuck is happening. It's just a pleasure to look at.
Yeah.
And I just love to be invested. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's nice to be back in that world.
Yeah. And we're also watching House of the Dragon, which we've been watching it together, which is fun. Mm-hmm. But I just got to say, I appreciate the cap on gore in Rings of Power. You know, I appreciate what it's doing. They are two different shows. I think they get compared a lot, but they're two different shows for some overlapping audience.
Yeah.
But like, you can watch both. Right. You know? They do different things for you.
Yeah.
They do different things for me. And I'm really enjoying them.
I would ask what your non-TV chaser is, but I believe we both have the same non-TV chaser.
And I just want to point out, like, it's not like, oh, we're both just thinking this. It's that I looked at your notes and no, we wrote the same thing down, which is on the count of three, 1, 2, 3. Don't worry, darling, drama. It is everything to me.
I love the absolute, like, implosion of this movie. It's just, it's good old fashioned Hollywood at its best.
The layers and layers.
I love when, like, because it's, nobody's getting hurt here.
It's fun.
It's like just a scandal that is rooted allegedly in a whole bunch of people being like petty with one another.
Right.
And that is what's beautiful. Reading some of these like text messages and exchanges is just hilarious. Also, like the actor speak that has been charged in all of this. By the way, I'm assuming everybody who listens probably is tangentially aware of this drama.
No, like honestly, the drama is too deep to even really get into right now. Like, it goes so far back. You need years. A whole board of red line investigating.
Look it up.
There are, and like even those are missing some details. And also, like, my TikTok, my Twitter, my Instagram, everything is all about this, and I don't want it to end.
Yeah. No, it needs to go on forever.
Forever. It's all that's keeping me going.
Yeah. One little piece of it was this video where Harry Styles sits down at a screening next to Chris Pine, and Chris Pine like stops, looks down, and people analyzed it and concluded that Harry spit on Chris Pine, and it is the fallout
has been.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I firmly believe he did not spit on him. Even if he did, because it's being lumped in with the drama of that movie, it's seen as malicious. As someone who has followed Harry Styles' career for the past decade and was there for like red carpet screenings of the One Direction documentary, I know that Harry Styles is a troll and like a shitster and like would do something like that as a joke.
Right.
But I don't think spit was involved. I think it was just a trick of the eye. But like, if it was, I firmly believe that it was just an inside joke between them.
Not a malicious act.
Right. Like the kiss with Nick Kroll.
Right.
Which was not, it was just like two guys being dudes. It was just them being like, you know, like joking around. Yeah. I think like, but it's the fact that everybody has been reading into everything.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that there probably is some real, I mean, there is.
Oh,
real
yeah, there's definitely real drama
amongst this cast. I mean, it's just amazing. It does feel like the internet. I mean, my favorite tweet was, I haven't followed an event this closely since the January 6th riots. And the fact that we were all following it, like the premiere of this movie in real time on the internet was beautiful.
It's really incredible stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you to Olivia Wilde, Florence Pugh, Harry Styles, Chris Pine, Gemma Chan.
For creating the drama of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, truly.
Nick Kroll.
Anyway, that is it for this week's episode. Thank you for listening to Unhappy Hour. Guess what? You can buy merch at unhappyhourshop.com. As always, you can head to the Odyssey app or wherever you get this podcast. Follow us, rate us, review us, but only if it's nice. I don't want to hear your shit. Unhappy Hour is a production of Pineapple Street Studios. It's produced by Barry Finkel, Melissa Slaughter, Marisa Orozco, and me, Matt Belisai. Grace Chen, Liz O'Malley, Meredith Rice, and Kurt Courtney help out with our socials. Special thanks to Jenna Weiss-Berman and Max Linsky. Our music is by Honsdale Sue. You can bother Barry at Finkelberry Pie. You can worship me at Matt Belisai. And you can follow Unhappy Hour Pod on Twitter and Unhappy Hour on Instagram for all the latest podcast buzz. You can leave us a voicemail on our rant hotline at 601-600-RANT. That's 601-600-7268. And that's it. That's everything. Thank you for listening. See you next time. Oh, bye-bye. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. In New York.